Kathy McGolder Exposition as curator of the Hoover Homestead, presumed ancestral home of President Hoover, now seems secure. With the help of Josie Doherty, he starts to modernize the cottage to make it attractive to tourists. Kathy feels that as a signatory to the documents passing the property to the local development association, he may have a legal right to ownership. This attitude greatly irks Josie's father, Fonsy Doherty, chairman of the association, and also the estate agent who masterminded the deal. Meanwhile, Gard Gallagher is a reluctant entrant for the singing competition organized by the Irish chapter of the New York Police Department's Social Club, in spite of encouragement by his teacher, Vivian Hawthorne, wife of the Presbyterian minister. Shop owner Muriel McConkie and her telephonist sister, Vera, are avid listeners to these significant matters. Ballylennon, 1956.
Ballylennon call office. Number, please. Sorry, caller, there'd be no point in putting you through to number 3 because the sergeant has moved temporarily to Letterkenny while the barracks is being renovated. And I happen to know that Gard Gallagher's out looking for a lost dog. What's that? Answering service? No, I never heard of anything like that. But I can take a message for the guard. Yes. Oh, he'll be glad to hear that. Yes, I'll tell him. Goodbye.
Who's that, anyway? Oh, I can't get the porridge off the bottom of this pot.
Leave it to steep. The New York Police Department. We'll be getting the prize for the exchange with the most international calls. They're sending the arrangements for the singing competition to Gard Gallagher, and they'll be meeting him at Idlewild Airport. Imagine.
I don't think we should give him back the room, Vera, the guard. I was thinking it over in the night.
Is that what you were muttering about?
Well, I wasn't saying my prayers, though perhaps I should have been, to ask the Lord to stop him moving in.
Oh, Muriel, will you take a run at yourself? It isn't as if we were letting in Dracula or that Mr. Attlee. If it hadn't been for the incident when he had the tussle with Napper Tandy, you wouldn't have had such a down on him. And didn't he pay the rent regular?
But what about the midnight singing? And clocking inside the toilet for hours, reading the Vindicate?
I told him that was out. Well, the singing anyway. There won't be a hoot out of him after 10 p.m.
No. You know, I should have scarred this months ago.
If you won't leave it to steep, try the old way. Boil a handful of sand.
I have to boil those dishcloths in a flannel simmet. Oh, there's no water coming out of the tap. I wonder does Mrs. McGarrigle at the waterworks know that.
There could be a mouse in the pipe.
Well, I'll leave it a minute. I don't want to be seen going out in the street with a bucket to the pump. People might think we haven't the running water laid on.
Oh!
What?
Is the toilet flushing?
I'll go and see. Sometimes it works when the tap doesn't. It must be on a different kind of... There isn't enough water in it to baptize a baby.
Well, we'll have to go out to the pump, Sue, and leave a bucket in there. Oh, and that's another reason for having the guard back as a lodger. He might be able to fix a few wee things like that.
Well, you'll have to go to the pump, Vera. When I was out at devotions, I saw a black ass looking into a grave. That's a very bad sign. I'll have to stay inside today.
3, 4. Oh, Molly Bond, why leave me pining? Oh, lonely waiting here for you. While the stars above are brightly shining, because I've nothing else to do.
Very good, guard. They're sure to fall for that one.
I think you're right, Mrs. Hawthorne. The Americans love the old Irish songs about whale and women and wee fairies.
Oh, I've just thought of something. Fairies. There might be objections. Especially from the police department.
Too childish?
No, just there might be a connotation. Or so I read in the teacher's sociological journal.
You're way ahead of me, Mrs. Hawthorne.
I don't expect it matters. After all, everyone knows these are very old songs from a more innocent and, should I say, more morally stable era. But perhaps we'd better have something totally unequivocal in reserve. What about... this. very hackneyed, but none the worse for that.
Mr. Doherty would be pleased with that. Come back to Erin. He's going to do some advertising for tourists out there.
Does that mean he'll be going with you to New York?
I suppose it does. He'd hardly leave the advertising of Ballylennon to someone that knows nothing about it.
The Irish Tourist Bureau's crammed with experts, I believe, directing visitors to Glockamora.
But the place in the song. How are things in Glockamora?
Written by some person in Philadelphia with no appreciation of geography, it describes a river that flows from Donegal through Killybegs, Kilkerry and Kildare.
As well as crossing two mountain ranges.
Excuse me, my husband said he'd telephone if the Bible Union Arabian Bazaar in Strabane is going to stay open late. Hello, Samuel. I forgot to ask you to buy two triangular oatcakes. Oh, sorry, Mr. Doherty. Hello, I did not think your voice sounded like my husband's. I didn't hear your greeting. Yes, Guard Gallagher is here. How did you know? Miss McConkie. Of course. Would you like a word with him? No. Certainly. Yes, I'll tell him that. It's a good idea. Praise where praise is due, I always say. Thank you. Goodbye. Mr. Doherty said he forgot to mention at the Development Association meeting that you should include a song about Ballylennon.
There's no song about Ballylennon. There is plenty about Donegal, but...
We can write one.
Oh, better you nor me, Mrs. Hawthorne.
You can mull over a few ideas in your head, hum them to yourself, and then we can sit here at the piano together and pick out the tunes.
Oh, I'm in mortal fear of humming anything to myself, and that's the truth, Mrs. Hawthorne. Now I'm going to be back living with the two Miss McConkies that barred me from singing after 10 p.m.
Which could be just the time when nocturnal inspiration floods your brain. Most creative work is achieved in the dark hours, you know. Beethoven composed all his best symphonies by candlelight, and Chopin never got to bed till midday.
Oh, you have it all off, Mrs. Hawthorne. I don't know if I should mention this, but I think Miss Muriel McConkie is getting a bit strange in her ways.
Getting?
Everything she sees is a sign. Birds flying, or dogs sniffing round after a scent.
As the great Irish philosopher Edmund Burke remarked, superstition is the religion of feeble minds.
Miss McConkie goes to 8 o'clock mass and to evening devotions too.
And as the distinguished Scottish divine Thomas Guthrie remarked, there's a clear distinction between religion and religious observance.
It's the sorrowful mystery tonight. I'm sorry not to be there, but the Lord above will understand. I'll write out the minutes of the last meeting. Are you staying in, Vera?
I was thinking of going up to the parish house for a wee chat with Peg Sweeney. Oh, she was telling me Father O'Flaherty's gone off on a 2-day course.
Is it a Eucharistic conference?
No, I think it's an athletic one. Peg says when he comes back, we'll be seeing him out in the church field, flexing his biceps and stretching his sinews like the strong man in Fawcett Circus.
Well, better than seeing him trotting round the streets at 7 a.m. in those blue drawers.
Peg was telling me the boarders in the convent school have been instructed to keep their dormitory curtains closed till 7:30.
God be with poor Canon Freeman.
Oh, he had stature. Even if you could recognize him in a snowstorm from the smell of his breath.
But you could forgive the drink and the cigarettes. He's such a holy man.
Dr. McCarville was telling Peg after the funeral that there was more tar on Canon Freeman's lungs than you'd see on the Falkara Road.
Oh.
Oh, and I knew there was something more, Peg said to me on the phone. Mm-hmm. It's her opinion Guard Gallagher took Napper Tandy up to Killiecrumper Hall and dumped him there to be found by the cook to have him out of this house.
Oh, Lord's sake.
Oh, if you have the reputation for being innocent, no one will suspect you of craftiness.
He never.
Well, that's only Peg's opinion. But when I asked the guard this morning would he take a stroll up to Killiecrumper and inquire if Napper Tandy had been seen, he said he would. No objection. Delighted.
But he's been very quiet all the same the last few nights. No singing.
But I've noticed he's kind of humming in his head.
Do you think we've a madman in the house?
Oh, I don't know what to think.
What's that?
I think it's a lorry.
It might be the egg, ma'am. No, no, it's a motor hearse going up the hill.
Oh, that's a very bad sign in the evening. Oh, it must be telling me something. Not to write out the minutes tonight, possibly. I'll have a cup of Oxo and a read of the Blessed Oliver magazine.
I'll be going on up to Peg, so...
I'll write the minutes out tomorrow and bring them to Fonzie Doherty myself.
Fonzie,
are
you there?
Who's that?
It's me. Oh, Paddy McGoldrick. Where's Mr. Doherty?
He's gone into Letterkenny to get a wet battery for the wireless.
You'd hardly be sitting in his place if he was in the building, so you wouldn't.
I've the use of the estate office when he's out, Mr. Boner.
Sitting there like a wee potentate with your big feet up on his desk.
I'm doing my work. Where I put my feet has nothing to do with it.
I suppose you're writing with your toes like the people that does the poems on the Christmas cards.
Is there something you want?
No. Only Fonzie said he'd something to tell me about the Hoover homestead.
Would that be for printing on the Vindicator?
It would and it wouldn't. He might just be telling me so that I could be thinking over what I was going to say for the following week's edition to get it right.
I'm giving away no secret when I say the money's come from America to do up the cottage.
That was mentioned at the last meeting of the Development Association. I wasn't there, but I read it in Miss McConkie's minutes, so I did. But that's not for publication yet. You wouldn't know that, because you're not a member of the committee.
But I will be, soon enough. When I'm curator, Mr. Hawthorne's going to propose me, and I think Reverend Hawthorne will second me.
So, you're defecting to their side.
They have their rights. Would you like to see the American check? It's here in the filing cabinet. I have all the documents of the Hoover homestead filed together. And then, when I move out there, I take the whole lot with me.
Aren't you the Howard Hughes of Drumskitrick? You, with your filing cabinets and your typewriters.
You need a modern business method, so if you're going to run a business successfully, Mr. Bonner.
There it is. $4,000 worth.
I hope it's guaranteed. You'd be in dire trouble if it was to bounce.
Doherty's Estate Agency, Paddy McGoldrick speaking. Thank you, Miss McConkie. Will you put them through?
It's the Rural Electrification Scheme.
Hello there. I wanted to confirm that the deposits in the post for installing current at what used to be known as McFinney's Cottage at Drumskitrick. But from now on, it's the Hoover Homestead. Yes, as in vacuum cleaner. Right. Be seeing you. There you are now.
You're not putting the electric at the yon hovel.
We are, of course. Every mod con. No tourists going to attend Irish sing-songs or Kayleys in the dark. And how do you think we'd make the teas in the cafeteria without the grill and the electric kettle?
Couldn't you not boil the kettle over the open fire the way they used to?
How long would you be waiting on an old black kettle to boil?
The tourists would be keen to see the kettle butt. The Americans love to see the Irish hunkering down in the ashes, so they do, and blinking in the smoke.
Neither Josie nor I could be doing me that.
Is Josie Doherty going to be helping you out?
She is. We'll move into the cottage together. But that's not for publication, Mr. Boner.
Does her old fellow know that?
He kind of does, but he won't accept it. But he'll have to accept it.
Boys, oh boys, there's sauce for you. I wish I was writing a column for the Sunday Empire News.
Muriel!
What is it, Vera?
Come here to me. I'm after taking down a telegram.
You know, the people aren't buying Doan's back implication this year. I wonder would Father O'Flatley be at the root of that, getting everyone out to exercise?
This telegram came from New York. The Police Department, Irish Chapter, Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter, that's a peculiar word. Gladly accept entry of original song. Kindly mail words and music of Back to Ballylennon to Patrick J. O'Banion. That sounds like one of those Mickey-uppy American names that's supposed to be Irish.
Mm-hmm.
Will I ring Gerd Gallagher, or will I wait till he comes in tonight?
Well, he's not at the barracks.
He'll be at the manse. Would it be too much to give him a ring and interrupt him and Mrs. Hawthorne sitting side by side at the piano?
Oh, you couldn't ask if he was there, Vera.
Who's going to pay his fare to America, I wonder? And he'd have to get 2 weeks off work because it's 5 days on the boat each way.
When I heard Fonzie Doherty saying he'd probably fly. Imagine that. The Irish chapter, or whatever it's called, is paying. He's the only policeman coming from this side. The rest are all from there.
With Irish grannies by the name. Half the population of America must be Irish grannies. Ballylennon call office. Number, please.
Can you get me Letterkenny 2268, please?
Kenny's Electrical Shop.
The very place, Miss McConkie. You've a memory like an elephant.
I'll put you through.
It's young Packy McGoldrick ringing Kenny's. What does he want there?
Hello, Electric Kenny here.
This is Packy McGoldrick, curator of the Hoover Homestead.
What?
Hoover, as in carpet sweeper. Look it. The two bar heaters, the toaster, the kettle, and the electric blanket hasn't arrived.
That's because they haven't been sent.
Well, send them pronto.
Who do you think you're talking to?
If you want our custom, you better show some efficiency.
Sue me.
And the same to yourself.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, hasn't he got to be the right wee dictator?
Oh, the language. I hate language. And where's Packy ringing from?
Number 11, Mr. Doherty's estate agency.
Mm-hmm. Fancy must be out of the office.
You're telling me.
And ordering all those expensive items. Who in Ballylinen is even one of them? An electric toaster.
And an electric blanket.
That'll give poor Fancy a shock.
Who's dead? Does Packy intend that for, I wonder?
Huh? Oh, no, Vera. Oh, that's terrible.
Was there anything else in the telegram, Mr. Gallagher?
No, Mrs. Hawthorne. Just send words and music off back to Ballylinen.
That won't prove as difficult as you thought initially. It's a matter of approaching the seemingly intractable problem in a positive frame of mind. Did you make up the tune as well as the lyric?
Well, it was going around in my head. I don't know how it got there. I mean, you could say it's a bit like other tunes.
I think perhaps that should be categorised as traditional rather than original.
But Mr. Doherty told him it had been specially composed.
It is specially composed, and it would be impossible for anyone to identify it from one of those myriad collections of Irish songs, even if they had the time to comb through them. I don't see any need to change anything here. But I do think you should change one or two of the words.
Whatever you say, Mrs. Hawthorne.
Some of them are a bit, reminiscent of existing works of poetry. You could be accused of plagiarism.
Huh? Oh, that doesn't sound too good.
The first line, for example. I wandered lonely as a cloud by Ballylinen's streams. Does that not remind you of anything?
Well, as I was saying, it must have come from somewhere.
It certainly did. How about... I walked alone one April day by Ballylinen streams.
I walked alone one April day by Ballylinen streams. Oh, that's powerful, Mrs. Hawthorne.
The next is all right. I think we should give a little attention to this one. And thought I'm farther off from heaven than when I was a boy. That's Thomas Hood, you know.
Who?
Thomas Hood, the celebrated English poet. You must have learned his I remember at school.
Isn't memory the peculiar art of you?
How about I stood beside a brave old oak, my memory to employ, on thinking back to times gone by when I was but a boy. Right, with the music now.
I walked alone one April day by Ballylinen streams. The place is just the same as when I...
Oh, who can that be? Excuse me, Samuel must have forgotten his latchkey. Oh, Mr. Bonner.
Hello, Mrs. Hawthorne. I have that promotional piece for Yard Gallagher's American concert.
What promotional piece?
Mr. Doherty told me to write a paragraph about the town, so he did, for Gard Gallagher to take with him to America. Is he in?
As a matter of fact, he is, but he's busy just now, practicing his songs.
I should run his eye over this, in case he wanted anything changed, you know.
Well, oh yes, all right, you may come in. Please wipe your feet in the coat from that. I'll be with you in a minute.
How are you, Mr. Bonner?
Quaint wee place to have here.
It's a nice house.
So, this is where you hide when the two Miss McConkeys give you the bum's rush.
I'm on my half day off.
I can see that. Here's the piece for the tourist leaflet connected to your concert. The silver voice of Gard Bairnie Gallagher reflects in pure sound the beauty of his hometown of Ballylinen, situated in the storied hills of County Donegal. That's the start of it.
I'd prefer to be mentioned as Bernard, but...
I forgot I had a bap in the oven, but it's all right.
for my husband's tea.
Isn't he the lucky man? About to his tea.
I'll have her read this and leave it in Tia at the railway station, Mr. Bonner.
I better leave it into the Swilly Arms. I'll be talking it over with Fonzie Doherty tonight.
Does he want me to hand out the leaflets?
Oh, no, no, no. He'll give them to the tourist people over there. They'll look after it. They're very up to the minute, and that's a fact.
I didn't like the thought of handing them out myself in the street to the people in New York.
Is Mr. Doherty going too?
He's representing the Ballylennan Development Association, so he is.
I didn't know that. It wasn't discussed at the last meeting.
It was an executive decision, so it was.
Indeed. And is the association paying his fare?
Oh, I wouldn't know that, Mrs.
I'd have to hear more about this. If the money's available for a fare, wouldn't it be more important for Guard Gallagher to be accompanied by his regular accompanist?
Aye.
Who will be playing for you, Mr. Gallagher?
That's a big worry to me, Mrs. Hawthorne.
My goodness. You should have mentioned this before. What happens if you get some half-baked music student from Oklahoma who's only used to jazz and blues and that other thing? What's it called?
Swing.
Swing.
Hello? Hello?
Who's that?
It's Miss McConkie.
Oh, hold on a wee minute. I thought Josie was at the reception desk. Josie!
And the cash box open for anyone to put their hand in.
Josie!
If there was anything worth robbing. Oh, tipping swarthing.
I think Josie must have gone down to Mona Comiskey to see what she plucked a couple of geese for tomorrow night. She's expecting a crowd from the Mushroom Growers Co-op.
I thought they held their annual dinner in Letterkenny.
Aye, but with the railway likely to close down, they're giving us a try it this year. That's one advantage of the railway closing, Miss McConkie.
Mr. Bonner wouldn't like to hear you say that.
Oh, I signed his petition to keep it open, but sure, everyone knows that'll do no good.
I suppose Mr. Doherty isn't in.
He's out having a bit of a barney with Mr. Crawford of the abattoir. There's some kind of fuel they're using now, and the smell would knock you sideways. Not good for business here.
I have the minutes of the last meeting of the Development Association. Will I leave them here at reception?
Yeah. Put them under the cash box. A gust of wind from the door could blow them away.
Would you happen to know if Mr. Doherty is going to America along with Gar Gallagher?
I hear he might be.
My sister was wondering. How long will he be gone for?
A week, if he goes. They'll be flying.
It's well for them that has the money.
Isn't the Development Association sending Mr. Doherty as its representative? Your sister should know that.
Well, she doesn't.
Between ourselves, Miss McConkie, Gar Gallagher wouldn't know where he was in New York. He'd be like a donkey at a horse fair.
I was just thinking that. I hear you're doing great improvements out at the Hoover Homestead.
Oh, it'll be fit for a visit from President Eisenhower himself. Do you think he'd come?
He might, if you sent him the fare. Shouldn't you keep that cash box under the counter?
Oh, I'm trying to get Mr. Doherty to buy a cash register. But with the dribs of money coming into this hotel, it mightn't get much more use than yon wee box.
That's peculiar about Mr. Doherty going to America, Guard. But it might be to promote business for the Swilly Arms. Still the cost of it.
Whatever about that, Miss McConkie, I'd be right glad to have him along with me over there.
Oh, yes, he's so businesslike. He'll see that all the arrangements for your concert go smoothly. Will you take a cut of black pudding?
Well, thanks, Miss McConkie. I wouldn't mind a couple of slices.
Oh, what a big man like you has an appetite to match. Were you out at Killycrump away yesterday?
I was, but there wasn't a sign of that dog.
And did you speak to the cook?
A Killycrumper? No, I didn't see him.
Will you be out there again today?
I will. I have to deliver a summons to a party for no rear light and baldy tires.
Well, you can ask about it then.
I will, Miss McConkie. That dog will be in the forefront of my mind all day. Seeing you.
Yes.
Is he gone out?
He is.
I'm coming down.
I thought he'd never finish his breakfast. I couldn't come down. My camisole's hanging over the range.
Yes. Oh, I'd better open the shop.
Oh, Vera. Mrs. Hawthorne's outside the door. I can see her shape through the glass.
What would she want at this hour? She should be opening the school.
Well, I'd better let her in.
Good morning, Mrs. Hawthorne. You're the early bird. I think it's still a few minutes off now.
I'm on my way to school. I was going to put this note through your letterbox, but here it is.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Hawthorne. Will you be wanting a reply?
No, no. You can read it at your leisure. Lovely morning, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Vera,
what's this?
Our communications have to be delivered by special courier.
Did she bring you a letter?
It's addressed to the Honorary Secretary, Ballylinnan Development Association. She didn't put my name.
Oh, that means it's official.
Dear Honorary Secretary.
You are?
It has come to my attention that the chairman of the Development Association will be accompanying an ordinary member, Mr. Bernard Gallagher, to the United States of America without the correct committee procedures being followed. I think she's right, Vera.
But why wouldn't he go if the money's in the bank?
Pursuant upon this topic, I wish to make application to the committee for appropriate funds to cover the return fare and accommodation for myself.
Myself?
To travel as Mr. Gallagher's pianist. Kindly arrange for this request to be placed on the agenda of a special meeting. Yours truly, Vivian C. Hawthorne. What's the C?
Canary fancier. Well, you may read it out at a meeting, but I wonder how far it'll go.
Do you know what I was thinking, Vera? If Fancy Doherty's going to America, and Mrs. Hawthorne probably is, I think I've a right to go too.
Why would you?
Well, I'm tied the Honorary Secretary of the Development Association, as Mrs. Hawthorne is at pains to point out. Well, I should go before an ordinary member goes. It'd be a lot of administrative work. And he'd want better companionship than Guard Gallagher in New York.
Why don't you write an application, then? It can only be turned down, and Mr. Doherty might want to do that.
I worded very carefully. Do you think there'd be any chance of seeing Nelson Eddy? He might be on at the Radio City Music Hall. You'll have to look after the shop there.
Well, if business is crushing, I can ask Josie Doherty to give me a lend of one of her wee sisters.
And I'd have to go into Miss Pollock for a new costume. Lime green's the colour this year, they were saying on the wireless.
And skirts up to the knee.
Oh, well, I wouldn't need to follow that.
Oh, but you'll cut a dash.
Oh, come to the window, Vera. What do you see?
Two white horses drinking at the trough.
Well, now, that's a very good sign. One white horse means travel, and two means travel and dreams.
Ballylinnan was written by Christopher Fitzsimon. Muriel McConkie was Margaret Darcy, Vera McConkie, Stella McCusker, Vivian Hawthorne, Anya McCartney, Guard Bernard Gallagher, John Hewitt, Stumpy Bonner, Gerard McSorley, and Packy McGoldrick, Charlie Bonner. Ballylinnan was directed in Belfast by Peter Cavanagh.